Jerry Bader Show, 10:35 from Dallas, Texas, Americans for Prosperity, defending the American Dream Summit. Again, I want to thank Sam Duell, Duell Financial Strategies, for sponsoring. Always a great supporter of the show, as well as a good friend, and greatly appreciate that. Going to double back on something. We're moving beyond Mitt Romney now, but I want to get back to the national security issue here in just a second. However, first, one announcement. We had a guest scheduled, Congressman Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee. She's a firebrand conservative. You know how these things work. Her plane's running a little late. We're not going to have that today. I do hope to record an interview with her that we'll have on Tuesday. And then I need Jason's opinion on something. He covered in person Packers game last night, probably got soaking wet. I had a friend text me that, you know, this was mostly a coach somewhere, I can't remember what team, referred to it as the game four of the preseason as the college all-stars, because it's really mostly people fighting for jobs. Jason, I had a friend text that both Scott Tolzien and Matt Flynn look very, very good, and he's torn on who should be the number two quarterback. I have been leaning Tolzien the whole way. I was at the game last week. I did not think Matt Flynn looked very good. I'm told, I haven't read anything. I've been too busy getting ready for this, things going on down here. I haven't read anything online. I know that the Packers' backups all look good. Jason says to him it's a no-brainer. Tolzien totally should get it. Throws a way better deep ball and more mobile. I didn't see last night, but Jason and I discussed this previously. I don't know that I've ever seen Matt Flynn play in person before. I need to think about that for a minute. But what I saw last week, I was just shocked at his lack of arm strength. And I pointed something out. I don't think I said this on the air. Is that my wife even noticed. As we were watching the game together at Lambeau, my wife, he's really, he's got a really plant to launch it when it's really not that deep of a pass. Jason says Tolzien has a way better upside. I could not agree more with that. Flynn is what he is, what he is, what he is, what he is, what he is. Tolzien has a growth curve that I just do not believe that Matt Flynn does. There's much, 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 much more room for growth in Matt Flynn. Jason says that Flynn had Janis open by a step or two downfield and underthrew him like 5 yards, and he had to break it up. See, that's what I see in Matt Flynn. I see a guy that just doesn't quite have the arm strength that you need if you're, you hope that you don't need him at all. Neither of these guys is Aaron Rodgers. Neither of them are anywhere near an Aaron Rodgers class. I mean, we can accept that. But you want somebody who can hold down the fort if, God forbid, there were to be a significant loss of Aaron Rodgers again. And I think ultimately, Tolzien is probably that guy. But again, now I'm doing this blind because I didn't see anything from last night. So I simply don't know. I honestly don't know. In the previous discussion that we had in the last half hour about Mitt Romney and why I think he's regaining some popularity, I think in large part it's because he was so right on foreign policy. And I said that is something that anyone who's running for president really needs to consider. I teased this yesterday on the show, but we didn't get to it. And because my guest is going to be late, I have time to do this. Rand Paul had a piece in yesterday's Wall Street Journal, where he still sounds very much isolationist, even though major conflagrations are breaking out all over the globe. You know, China taunting us, basically buzzing one of our jet fighters. You've got Putin in Ukraine. You've got the Middle East. You've got ISIS, ISIL. It's I don't know that there's ever been a time where there have been things going on where the United States is showing no leadership. I heard some conservative commentators believe that this was going to be the moment when Rand Paul would recognize that if he's going to be a viable presidential candidate, he has to understand people have started caring about foreign policy again because President Obama has blown it so badly. That does not appear to be the case. I want to share the piece that he had with you in yesterday's Wall Street Journal. As the murderous, terrorist Islamic State continues to threaten Iraq, the region, and potentially the United States, it is vitally important we examine how this problem arose. Any actions we take today must be informed by what we've already done in the past and how effective our actions have been. So you can tell by that first paragraph, Rand Paul isn't going to assess this from what we didn't do, which is what I and other conservatives are doing in terms of President Obama. He is going to examine what we did do that was wrong. Shooting first and asking questions later has never been a good foreign policy. The past year has been a perfect example. He actually thinks we've overreacted on the world stage. Just, I want you to think about that as you go through this. Back to him. Back to Senator Paul. In September, President Obama and many in Washington were eager for a U.S. intervention in Syria to assist the rebel groups fighting President Bashar Assad's government. Arguing against military strikes, I wrote that Bashar Assad is clearly not an American ally. But does his ouster encourage stability in the Middle East, or would his ouster actually encourage instability? The administration's goal has been to degrade Assad's power, forcing him to negotiate with the rebels. But degrading Assad's military capacity also degrades his ability to fend off the Islamic State of Iraq and al-Sham, ISIS. Assad's government recently bombed the self-proclaimed capital of ISIS in Syria. To interventionists, like former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, we would caution that arming the Islamic rebels in Syria created a haven for the Islamic State. We are lucky Mrs. Clinton didn't get her way and the Obama administration didn't bring about regime change in Syria. That new regime might well be ISIS. I want to respond to that. Okay, on the other hand, we are now faced with the prospect of cooperating with Bashar Assad because he is still there. He goes on. This is not to say the U.S. should ally with Assad. You can't have it both ways, Senator Paul. You can't. You're saying it's better he's there to oust ISIS, and we have a mutual goal in ousting ISIS, but we shouldn't. You're glad he's there, but we shouldn't associate with him. How the hell can you have it both ways? Back to Rand Paul. But we should recognize how regime change in Syria could have helped and emboldened ISIS. And recognize that those now calling for war against ISIS are still calling for arms to factions allied with ISIS in the Syrian civil war. We should not, let me stop there. He's right about this. And I mentioned this earlier in the show. The lines are not well defined. And that is what's problematic here. That is part, I think, of why President Obama has just been neutered on this. I'll admit, you cannot easily pick winners and losers, nor enemies or allies in this case. I agree with that. He goes on. We should not ally with Assad, but we should recognize how regime change could have helped and emboldened the Islamic State. We should realize that the interventionists are calling for Islamic rebels to win in Syria. Here's what he's saying. We should realize that the interventionists are calling for Islamic rebels to win in Syria and for the same Islamic rebels to lose in Iraq. While no one in the West supports Assad, replacing him with ISIS would be a disaster. He is assuming that that would necessarily be the case. Our Middle Eastern policy is unhinged, flailing about to see who to act against next with little thoughts of the consequences. This is not a foreign policy. So his complaint with the Obama foreign policy is it has been hyperactive. I think it's been in a coma. This is the worlds apart that Rand Paul is with a lot of conservatives that he's otherwise aligned with on domestic issues. Those who say we should have done more to arm the Syrian rebel groups have it backward. Mrs. Clinton was also eager to shoot first in Syria before asking some important questions. Her successor, John Kerry, was no better, calling the failure to strike Syria a Munich moment. Some now speculate Mr. Kerry and the administration might have to walk back or at least mute the critiques of Assad in the interest of defeating the Islamic State. Again, though, so is he, yet he says we shouldn't ally with him. He goes on. A reasonable degree of foresight should be a prerequisite for holding high office. So should basic hindsight. This administration has neither. But the same is true of hawkish members of my own party. Some said it would be catastrophic if we failed to strike Syria. What they are advocating for then, striking down Assad's regime, would have made our current situation even worse, as it would have eliminated the only regional counterweight to the ISIS threat. And there is where his thesis collapses. Because you, Senator, are operating from the premise that ISIS should be dealt with by a regional counterweight and not us. That's the problem. That's where I part ways on foreign policy with Rand Paul. And this is why I think the Romney resurgence is important. To need to understand why it's happening. I believe it's happening in large part because where Mitt Romney sounded the best is when he was the adult in the room on foreign policy. Rand Paul wants to be president, and he's still living back there. We go on. Our so-called foreign policy experts are failing us miserably. The Obama administration's feckless veering is making it worse. Seems the only thing both sides of this flawed debate agree on is that, quote-unquote, something must be done. It is the only thing they ever agree on. But the problem is, we did do something. We aided those who've contributed to the rise of the Islamic State. The CIA delivered arms and other equipment to Syrian rebels, strengthening the side of the ISIS jihadists. Some even traveled to Syria from America to give moral and material support to these rebels, even though there had been multiple reports some were allied with al-Qaeda. Patrick Cockburn, Middle East correspondent for the London newspaper The Independent, recently reported something disturbing about these rebel groups in Syria. In his new book, The Jihadi's Return, ISIS and the New Sunni Uprising, Mr. Cockburn writes that he traveled to southeast Turkey earlier in the year, where, quote, a source told me that, without exception, they all expressed enthusiasm for the 9/11 attacks and hoped the same thing would happen in Europe as well as the U.S. It's safe to say these rebels are probably not friends of the United States. Now, I agree with that. I agree that it's difficult to know who, if anybody, to back. But he really believes the world is a better place because someone who gassed his own people is still there? And here's something Senator Paul is leaving out. The president of the United States drew a line. And when the president of the United States draws a line saying, if this happens, then this will happen from us, and he doesn't follow it, you get what you get now. If he wants to know why we are where we are now, because nobody takes President Obama seriously when he says he's going to do something, not because he's done too much. I like Rand Paul. I could not disagree with him on this more. If America interests are at stake, as I said in September, writes Paul, then it is incumbent upon those advocating for military action to convince Congress and the American people of that threat. And that's where I think he's behind the curve. I just do. I think America is convinced. Too often, the debate begins and ends with an assertion that our national interest is at stake without any evidence of that assertion. He doesn't think the national interest of the United States is at stake with the threat that is ISIS? And I just heard someone on the radio the other day think that with all the way things are erupting everywhere, that Rand Paul would change his tune. Absolutely not. The burden of proof lies with those who wish to engage in war. Those wanting a U.S. war in Syria could not clearly show a U.S. national interest then, and they've been proven foolish now. This is mind-boggling to me. A more realistic foreign policy would recognize that there are evil people and tyrannical regimes in this world, but also that America cannot police or solve every problem across the globe. He sounds like Barack Obama on this. Only after recognizing the practical limits of our foreign policy can we pursue policies that are in the best interest of the U.S. The Islamic State represents a threat that should be taken seriously. But we should also recall how recent foreign policy decisions have helped these extremists so that we don't make the mistake of potentially aiding our enemies again, Rand Paul, U.S. Senator from Kentucky, yesterday's Wall Street Journal. I don't, there is very, very little that I agree with there. And while I like Rand Paul in a number of ways, I think this is problematic if he's going to be a serious contender for president in 2016. I just do. We are in Dallas, Texas. It is 10:52. We'll have some final thoughts coming up.
Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybatershow.com.